then when I
some people go freeway speed on diesel. I personally don't, but five over is
Hey Richard.
You just be asking for it if you speed on diesel,
which I don't get a mark. That's correct, but not anymore. It's
oh, I know. It used to be that way.
Okay, Richard's there. Okay, good.
Probably. Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to call the meeting to order. So, Don, do you want to take roll call? It's 7 o'clock, 7:01.
Ian? Aye, Karen.
Aye, here.
Richard?
You're on mute, Richard.
Does that count? Said here and then he's gone. Anyway, let's see.
There he is. Okay. He is here.
Am I mute?
No.
Oh, okay.
Am I mute?
No, we can hear good. You.
I am here.
Sorry. Here.
Okay.
I never said here, but you can see me, so. Don. I never actually said here. Does it matter?
You figured you were talking. You knew you were here.
Okay. Okay. All right. So, our first item is consent items, and
I'd like to ask. The first thing on the consent items is the agenda, and I am in the East Coast. So I'm wondering if we could just rearrange the agenda a little bit, do the consent items, do the action items, and then I'll last as long as I can.
You want to make a motion?
And I have, that's what I'm saying. I make a motion to rearrange the agenda for the consent items first and then the action items. And then I'll just be on as long as I can stay.
Okay, I'll second that. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay.
Thank you.
Motion passes.
So that was just for the agenda for the whole consent.
What?
Was that just the rearrangement of the agenda, or is that all the consent items to be passed?
No, that was
just to rearrange. Just to rearrange.
Rearrange it so that the action items come after the consent items. Sorry, Jerry. You'll be just a little bit later. But we only actually have 3 action items now instead of 5. So that'll make it a little easier. So, okay. So first, the consent items, I guess we'll just do them all together unless someone wants to do them individually. So, we're going to be asked to approve the consent items. So, Don, do you want to take a vote?
Well, we need a first and a second.
So is there a motion to approve the consent items with the
Is there a motion to approve the consent items?
Dan made a motion to approve
them. Dan seconds it.
Okay, Ken seconded it, and then I'll just do a roll call vote. And Dan?
Aye.
Ken?
Aye.
Heidi?
Aye.
Rolando?
Aye.
Richard?
Aye.
Cool.
Okay, now we're gonna go to action items. The first action item is to approve the district's fiscal budget. Is there any discussion? No discussion?
Well, I would like to have a little discussion on that.
Okay, go ahead, Ken.
Okay, let me get this. First, on the contract labor, we have $111,000. And since the last, you know, when we approved this or talked about this a month ago, we didn't realize that that may go way up.
Correct.
Maybe even double, or you know, 2.5 was the best that we had. Are we good with the $111,000?
So, is it okay if I just explain what when the new proposal comes in and gets approved, then we'll go back and we'll modify the budget and arrange it as needed, and then go from there. But this would just make it so that that we can just continue on until the RFP, the bid opening, is on the 8th of July. So it's coming around the corner too.
So there's that, and then also want to get clarification on this employee salary. We have here a total of $78,180.
So
I'm trying to remember why I came up with that.
So what was my salary plus $25,000.
Okay,
and then Richard correctly pointed out at the one of these meetings that were proven, the column didn't add up, you know, going this plus this. Was that?
Yeah.
And so I adjusted it, and then it raised the taxes on it, and then I just took it out of the.
So it was 26,000 or something.
It was 25,000 plus whatever.
Yeah. Okay. So those are my only two, just because those are to me potentially majorly inaccurate numbers, you know, especially with the contract labor, if we want to continue with leaving it at 111,000, or I don't know how important it is that we have this perfectly accurate, but you know, when we're talking, our best bid was 2.5 times 111,000. That's something that we didn't know a month ago, but now it's a potential.
Yeah. Well, all those are estimates. Not one of them is any closer than the other one.
All right.
So there's always a variance. The thing is that when we do our monthly review of the expenses, we need to make sure we're tracking it as budget. And if we're not, we need to figure out how we're going to adjust it.
Correct. So we just need to be aware of that. And then that $25,000 that we allotted for an assistant that, you know, may be high, in my opinion. But anyway, so
that's a very valid point, because it's, but to Rolando's point, you know, we don't have that number yet, so it's a best guess, and then we're going to come in July, we're going to have a better idea what it is, so then we can move. So really, it's a placeholder right now, if you will.
Pretty liberal placeholder.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm not sure what else we can do at this point.
Not a big deal. I just wanted to point that out.
Yeah. Rolando, do you have a microphone? Because I can't hear you.
I simply was saying that it's a valid observation that it's often not caught by people when they're looking at a budget and planning for the future like we are. We are anticipating some sort of adjustment to our operating expenses because of the change in operations. And we're just going to have to track that. I don't know, unless someone has a suggestion about how we make up that difference right now. I don't. I think that the best we do is It's where can we get the number? And it's possible that we're going to have to subsidize the operating budget with reserves.
I totally agree with you. We need to make a budget from what we know, and then we adjust the budget when we know something different.
Exactly. So just need a motion. That's all I was talking about.
Yeah.
What did you want to say about that?
That's what I was
going to
talk about.
Well, I move that we approve the proposed budget for the 2022 year.
I would say I'll second that.
Okay. All right. So, we have the approval of the budget as is, and knowing that the 111,000 is a placeholder. Ken?
Aye.
Rolando?
Aye.
Dan?
Aye.
Richard?
Aye.
Hey, you know, Diane had her hand up and we didn't give the audience.
Oh, I need public comment.
Comment.
Yeah. Oh, jeez.
Diane. So Diane, let's go back a step. I couldn't even hear the motions that were made, actually. So I didn't even know somebody was making them. So maybe that needs to be a little louder next time. Diane, go ahead.
All right. Thank you, Heidi. The only point I want to bring to the board's attention is that because now Dawn actually has a position as an administrative trustee to the bond council, I don't know what the parameters are for you, your reporting now because of the USDA loan or conversion through that bond company. And so Dawn does have a fiduciary responsibility for a certain amount of reporting from what I remember reading that trust almost 2 years ago now. So I just want to bring that to the board's attention and to be mindful of that, of what has to be reported and when to the bond council's board of trustees. I yield.
Thank you.
I'm not sure what that has to do with the budget. Was that a comment about the budget, Diane?
Yes, because it's predicated. There's a certain reporting now that the districts never had to be responsible for to the bond council, which is they now own 51% or more of us until that obligation is satisfied for 40 years. So there is a reporting that's required. And Dawn was immediately given the position of administrative trustee. So I just wanted to remind the board that there is that piece that, you know, they keep an eye on your budget, so to speak.
So is that a warning to Don, or are you trying to say that there's some financial thing about the budget that we need to do about Don's responsibility?
Well, because yeah, Dick, because, you know, I agree with Ken, there's probably going to be an increase, right? So because our bond is predicated on the revenue, it's going to impact the revenue, and there maybe have to be, you know, I don't know what the reporting is. Don would probably have to report, and as he is the administrative trustee, to make sure that that revenue sees its way to the right coffers. And I'll yield.
So this will be the third USDA loan that I've been involved with. One I inherited, and then two other ones. And the reporting is very much like the county, where the audited financials are submitted to them, and then they may have a question or two about, if there's a number on the financials that is confusing to them, and ask a question for clarification. But I've never had a clarifying question from the USDA with my experience. So anyway.
Were you assigned administrative trustee before this particular contract, this indenture? I don't remember you being assigned as administrative trustee for the prior obligation. I don't know. Are you done?
When the Gale Loop loan was a USDA loan, it was.
Right, but were you named as the administrative trustee was the question?
I believe so.
Okay. Whereas I know you are on this one.
that's what you mean.
I don't think that, I mean, what Diane's calling out is just for awareness, right? So we owe money, and that the people that we owe money want to make sure that the Fishing Valley is not wasting their money, that they're going to be able to pay their loan. So they're going to review the financials, which is the actuals. Of course, you may look at the budget and see how come the budget is showing a negative revenue, right? That's not the case. I don't think they're going to be too worried about the budget, but they won't be worried about the financials, and we have to submit the financials and report those. I don't think that's any different. You may have gotten the title change, but I'm pretty sure that any loan kind of requires validation of your income to make sure that you're going to cover the loan. Otherwise, it's a problem. I do want to make one other suggestion just so that folks sort of understand. I think it might be useful if we just go back to last year's budget and last year's actuals, so you can get a sense of how much off we were in what areas, right? Because we made a plan, we sort of suggested this is what we're going to do. I think people will be surprised on how positive variance that we have in most of these cases.
But with the point that we're not on the 111,000, we're not going to be less than that for sure.
Right.
The chances of us being greater is pretty much 100%.
Yes.
And that's different than, you know, than the others that we probably over budgeted.
Right.
In the case of the of the employee salaries, I think we've over budgeted, so that's good.
Yeah.
So I like that. That's why I didn't test that. But when we're under budgeted as much as even $100,000, you know, make me a little bit concerned. But you know, if we're going to do a budget, what's the purpose of a budget? I don't know why we're doing it if we're that far off. We're getting ready to approve this, and we're pretty sure it's going to be over 111,000, and I'm almost 100% sure it's going to be. So I mean, if we budgeted an additional 50,000, or something, I would, it seemed like it'd be a logical.
But going back to what Richard was saying, you budget on what you know. And then when you find out, then it becomes a known, and then you rearrange the budget accordingly. And the other piece to that is that if we budget for, let's say, two times, so it's 222,000, then we're also giving the contract labor proposals a goose to say, well, this is what they're budgeting for. Let's meet them.
Right. Now,
hey, let's meet them. That's
okay.
Yeah.
So I like that.
Okay, well. Yeah. So they could look at our financials and see what we're paying now, and know that's a strong number. So that's what they're used to, right? But that's a good point. Look at the budget, because that's public record.
All right, public. Okay. I like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
you push me. Still can't hear you, Rolando. But
so I was just calling out.
I'm glad Ken's happy.
Yeah. So Don's pointing out that it makes better sense while we're in the RFP process to make sure our budget shows a lower amount, because it would incentivize people to really look at the RFP that they're going to propose. And our actual amount is also low, so that they'll know kind of what we're used to paying and what, how much we might be able to digest. Whereas if we put out a budget that is higher than what we've used, they might see that as an opportunity. Did you hear me? And did that make sense?
Oh yeah, that's kind of what I said in the beginning. And Don, I think, reiterated. I heard what he said, so we're on the same page.
Is there any other?
So we were in the middle of approving this, I think, aren't we?
Well, we might. I think we should start over with the motion. Okay.
Sure. So this is Rolando, and I move that we approve the 2022-23 budget for the Fish and Valley Water District.
I'll second it.
Okay, roll call. Dan?
Aye.
Rolando?
Aye.
Ken?
Aye.
Richard?
Aye.
Heidi?
Aye. Motion passes.
Okay, and
okay.
For action items 2 and 3, they will be on for next month. The the two direct charges. So anyway, just expect to see them next month. Heidi, do you mind if I introduce number four?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead, because you know more about it than I do. That's so fine.
The Conflict of Interest Code is basically a document.
But we can't hear you very well.
Can't hear you, John.
The Conflict of Interest Code is basically a document that says the level of security that the district should have for different employees, different people that do business with the district. And it got completely, totally revamped 2 years ago with Kathleen Doherty and the Placer County Council. And so every 2 years, that the Placer County Council issues a letter saying, hey, make sure you have a designated filing officer, make sure that the level of disclosure is set for the different people, and the designation of employees, which all three of those we have. And so on that conflict of interest code, the first two pages, it's really like a page and a quarter. That's what our code is. But then the rest of the document is just the government code that substantiates the rest. So I say, hey, the Placer County Council, the people that are looking at this whole thing, they're the ones that basically wrote it. And we're just saying, yeah, that's a good thing. So anyway, that's all I want to say about it.
Any discussion?
Why is this something we need to approve every year?
I see every year or every other year. I can't remember.
It's kind of like the sexual harassment training.
Actually, you're right.
Yeah.
It is a lot like that.
Okay.
Richard?
I propose we adopt the policy.
There's a second? Rolando's a second?
Oh, yeah.
Oh man, sorry, Dan. Okay, roll call vote. Ken?
Aye.
Rolando?
Aye.
Dan?
Aye.
Heidi?
Aye.
Richard?
Aye.
Okay.
Heidi, I would like to make a comment about it, though.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so as I'm reading through it, I just, in a couple of the page one, the first paragraph, I'm going back a little bit. I hate to open up a can of worms, but I just want to make a comment and I'll shut up. It says that. Accordingly, no board member, district employee, or other person in a designated position shall participate in the making of any decision for the district when the decision will or may be affected by his or her financial, family, or other personal interests or consideration. Then
I'd like to give an example for that one right there.
Yeah.
Let's just use me as the example. Being the general manager, and I buy some land that's right on the border of Christian Valley and Meadow Vista or wherever, and then I use my position to get water served to that property and increase the value of that property substantially, just because now it's went from a well to city water, which is the endless tap, hopefully. And so then I gain personally through that. So that's the point of that first one.
Yeah, and I get that, but it says any, financial, decision. It goes on page 12 to say, no designated employee or someone participating in making and or in any way attempt to use his or her official position to influence or the making of any government decision, which he or she knows or has reason to know will have a reasonable, foreseeable material financial effect. So I'm just going to say that going back to a vote that was made here before I was on the board, that all five of the board members did make a vote where financial material affected them. And they all voted, in my book, to protect themselves from liability from the Browns Act, to not get themselves in trouble or liability by voting to pay back monies that was said that they illegally took. And but I think that they broke this provision as well as the Browns Act. And I just want to make that my statement. I keep bringing that up, but I want to just say it again. And maybe one day it can be revoted on by people who are not going to vote against their own financial or for their own financial effect. It's just a point that, I hate to bring up old stuff, but I think it's important that it gets set straight.
The one thing I would say to that is that every action that was taken with regards to that whole thing was reviewed by the attorney. So.
Oh, well.
I'll be honest with you, because I'm not going to write this out and back out again, but what Rolando said was very true. That was all done above board, and we made sure that the board and the district was protected every way we could.
But I think it was the reverse. The temptation was to go because you felt liable because a lawyer said it, but it broke, the Constitution says that you can't incriminate yourself. And you were forced to vote on something out of fear. And so I'm saying it in reverse, that you guys were voting because you were, we don't want to get in trouble, and everybody's honest, and part of the community is watching us, and they're out telling everybody in the community on next door and everywhere else. And so you were under pressure, or they were under pressure, I believe, or you guys, to say, we will pay back. And I think that is against the Constitution and also against these provisions.
Okay. Any other comments? All right. We'll move on to the next action item. Thank you, Ken. The district will discuss board meeting times and what's best for the district and residents. The board may decide on a different time. So Don is going to first give us a little spiel on that. Right, Don?
Right. Can you? It must not be picking up very easy.
Yeah. What?
That one picked up pretty well when you turned that side.
All right. Anyway, I just want to say that in general, the time of the meeting has generally always been 7 o'clock for whatever. And the only time that it would get bumped to 6:30 was if we had a closed session. Or it may have been like a town hall kind of thing. Sometimes the board will make an exception. But in general, it's just been 7 o'clock and then 6:30 on the exceptional times. So anyway, that's the history. So
thank you, Don. Is there any discussion from the board members?
I'll chime in a little bit. I think it needs to be, I think it's important that we recognize that we're the board members. And when we're elected, we are elected by the group that elects us. So it's important that the board meet, and it's important that people who elect us work through us, and then when they get to attend meetings, that's wonderful, and they get to interject to the meetings But it's most important that the board members agree when they're going to meet, because we're the ones that have to vote. So it's important to be at every meeting we can possibly be at, and in order to attend the votes. So I think we need to be flexible and work together as board members, and then encourage the people who support us to communicate to us about the agenda items. And when the agenda is out early enough, then the community members have the opportunity to communicate to us. And then even if they can't attend, we can act on their behalf.
My only comment, my comment is I'd rather not vote on this. I'll meet whenever the majority of the board wants to meet. I don't care. So I just want, like Richard said, the majority that can be there at that time is most convenient, is best. And it's fine for me to meet at 6:30 or 7. Just don't make it at 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock.
Yeah, it's almost 11 here. No, it's 10:30. But that's fine. I mean, that's what it's about, being able to be there when we can.
Any other comments from the district before we go on to the audience? Okay, Joanne? You're muted over there, I think, or we can't hear you.
Can't hear you.
Can't hear anything.
I would like to say that the board has to remember that they represent the community, and the decisions that they make is best for the community.
I can't hear you, Joanne. Joanne, can you speak down to the microphone?
Can you hear me now? No.
Not much better, but try.
Maybe it's coming up from here. Go ahead.
Okay. I'd like just remind the board that they are representing the community, and should be always keep in mind that what's best for the community. And I think we've always met at 7 o'clock, and I'd like to see that continued. It's in our bylaws, and I would like to see it continued to make it more convenient for everybody, not just a few board members.
Thank you. Any other comments?
I just would echo what Joanne has said. And the district has primarily always had this meeting for the last 58 years at on the regular meetings, 7 o'clock. So not only is it more convenient for people coming home from work and giving them a chance to eat so that they can participate rather than limit when they could be participating. So I'll yield with that.
I have an additional comment. The only thing I would say is that I think that having it later in the day, it makes it possible for folks in the community that work, who might be interested in doing and participating in the as a board member, to participate. If it's during the day, it's going to be tougher for anybody to commit. I mean, they're busy with their lives, right? They have jobs and kids and things like that. So I think there's that benefit to having it later in the evening. Of course, I also want to call out Middle Vista's board meeting, something like at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, or something like that. Yeah. So
about 15 minutes.
Right.
I just like to say one thing, and that is, I don't mind it being at 7 or 6:30, or I mean, I'm retired, so anytime, but so it's okay to me. But I have gotten comments from members of the community that it's too late a time for them. So that's just for your information. There are people out there who it's more convenient for earlier, and I understand the working thing, and that's not necessarily my opinion to have it earlier, but there are people out there who do want it earlier.
How about we ask Reed? I'm flexible. I'll come whenever.
Do I have a motion?
One other comment.
Okay.
Perhaps we could try some early meetings and see if we get new people from the community who will attend. At this point, many of the people who attend, many of the members who of the community who aren't board members who attend are the same as the board members are the same. But if we try a few different times, we might find we get more participation from the community, which would be a positive thing.
These are just comments. It's not a back and forth, okay? These are just comments. You don't have to agree or disagree with people, what people are saying. Somebody's gonna make a motion, hopefully, and then we'll vote on it.
Heidi, could I just make just one more comment? And basically, sure. It would just be, I've made this suggestion before, but to actually send out like a survey and in the newsletter and a tear off to, you know, send back in saying these are the timeframes and, you know, get a census rather than just make guesses. You can literally reach out to the community and get a better census for what the, you know, majority would or would not approve for. So I'll yield with that.
Thank you.
And I would like to make one more comment that we have it too early. How are the board members who have to go to a job going to make it to the meeting?
Right. Go ahead. Thank you.
That would be up to the board members.
The board members are going to vote on it, so that's not going to be an issue because I don't think anybody's going to vote. Well, I'm not going to guess, but I don't think anybody's going to vote on a time where other board members can't make it. So we're just going to vote to confirm the time of 7 o'clock, and I'm assuming
no vote, and it remains the same.
And also, it's not very clear from this, but I am assuming that we would still have the meeting slightly earlier if we have at 6:30, if we have a closed session or an anticipated lengthy meeting. So if anyone wants to make, go ahead.
I'll make a motion. I move that we don't change our meeting times, but we do the survey that Diane has recommended.
I second that. Dawn?
Roll call. Richard?
Hi.
Heidi?
Hi.
Ken?
Hi.
Rolando?
Nay.
Dan? Nay. Okay. So it passed with three votes, and we'll do a survey. You keep the time the same and then do a survey.
Am I allowed to ask, just out of curiosity, why Rolando didn't want to keep it the same? Or is that not okay?
You can always ask whatever you want. I could choose not to answer. But I'm happy to share. It's not a secret.
Okay.
I'm reluctant to change. Like, my purpose of being here is to make sure we got water to the district. When I signed up, the meetings were at 7 o'clock. And it works out for the majority of people at 7 o'clock. It's not like people can't come at, the board members can't come at seven. They would just prefer to come earlier. Some board members won't be able to come in the afternoon. If that was the case, I could probably do it with my work schedule. I have some ability, but I wouldn't do it if that was the case. So I think all board members can come at seven. Not all board members can come at five. They just preferred it to be at five. So that's it. It's just a preference. And I don't know why we're revisiting this. It doesn't affect the business of the water that we should be busy talking about. But that's all.
Thank you. Well, the motion was to meet at 7. You realize that, right?
Yeah, but the motion was to put a survey out to see what the district. To me, that's a waste of energy and time. We're a small district. Okay. Other things to take care of other than to figure out what's the best one. That's why.
Yeah. Okay, so you're voting kind of against. Maybe we should have voted on that separately. Yeah. Okay. Because then it doesn't confuse the issue about the time.
No, I was clear. I mean, the motion I thought was a good one. There was nothing wrong with it.
The only reason this has come up is because a member of the community wanted to put it on the agenda. So that's why we're voting on it. So just so you know, because you mentioned that.
Right. No, I understand.
Okay.
Okay. So the vote passes, the motion passes. And we're done with the action items. So thank you. And we're gonna go back to reports, and Jerry's going to give his operations report first.
I'm waiting.
Thanks for being patient, Jerry. You're on mute. Okay. I think he's trying to get on here.
Well, he's on. He just muted.
Okay. Sorry about that. I had some windows open and I muted and couldn't find the window. All right. Okay. I'm going to burn through this because we have our cross country camp and trying to get things together tonight for that. So I'm going to go quick. Plant's running great. The only issue that we're having, I talked to Dawn about it and I didn't see it on the action items for this week. So the new monitoring and alarming system that we have at the plant, the way the electrical guys put that together, it was a free service. It went through Google and we got text notifications through that. It was free and it was working great. And we've used it here at Weimar for, 7 or 8 years. And at the beginning of June, Google has decided to up their security and whatnot, and that system no longer works. So we don't get text alarms. We have a backup system at your plant that will dial out after 30 minutes if nobody acknowledges certain critical alarms. So we upgraded here at Weimar because, it's super important to get these notifications. And my recommendation to you is to upgrade, add a module to the SCADA system. I think it's about $500 and there's about $500 worth of labor that they would have to do. So he told me that you should budget about $1,000 for this. So right now, the only way I get alarms is if it dials out after half an hour, if nobody acknowledges it, or we just keep checking it to make sure everything's working. So I don't know if you can do this or not at this meeting. I didn't see it on the agenda, but I would highly recommend that you do this upgrade.
So Jerry, I was going to approve that because to me that was a maintenance issue.
Oh, okay.
To have it go. And so okay. Anyway,
yep. It wasn't a design flaw. It's just a new policy that Google has implemented. And rather than try to come up with a clever workaround that will get probably defeated at some point, I think it's better just to upgrade and add that module. So, okay. So can I approve him to do that?
Yes.
And he'll just send you a bill directly. Yeah. All right. Perfect. We had 3 pretty good size leaks. Not good size, but mainline type leaks this month. And then we also had a ton of the small meter, little meter leaks and whatnot that we knocked out. Oak Springs is completed. I think we're about $3,000 under budget on that. And the authorized amount, we came in, I think, over $3,000 under that. So that's good. That's the second half. That's the upper half that kept popping those leaks above that new house. They're still part of the CIP, that lower part, but that hasn't leaked in a few years. So then we got the valve and hydrant inspections were all completed. There's no capital improvements to report. I gave a budget of about $5,100 last May about your pump station up at the plant. And that's just got the original or just old piping in there and that check valve slamming. And I've mentioned it a few times that the material costs have just gone through the roof. I had a estimate of about $2,600, you know, for the material. I got to add at least $1,500 onto that. That would put us about $6,600 total. We were under in capital improvements on the plant road by, I think, a couple thousand dollars on that. So I think overall the capital improvement budgets will work. The concern is that the check valve keeps slamming, and we had originally budgeted just to do pump one, but about 3 or 4 months ago, I don't know if you remember one of the reports, the piping on pump two actually sprung a big leak. And so I would just propose that we just redo all that plumbing in there and be done with it. And the total cost of that would probably be, you know, pushing 7,000, which is about $1,800 more than what, you know, the original estimate was. I ran into this at Meta Vista too on a canal crossing. I mean, parts are just going through the roof. So if we go for that, that'd be great. If you, you know, we could just let it ride the way it is, and then the next guys can deal with it. It's up to you guys. It's neither here nor there for us. So I'll let you guys talk about that. And then Don maybe can, you know, let me know what the decision is. If there's any questions, technical questions, I can address those.
Do we need to put that as an action item on the next meeting, Don, or can we do it?
This maintenance again.
What?
You know, I consider this maintenance because right now it's a valve that's going to go out and do damage. So I'm like, to me, that's maintenance. So I should just be approving that just because we need to get it done. And it would be kind of not smart of me to say, well, let's put it off for another month. So that's why right. I was like, so I'm to me, that's just straight up maintenance that just needs to get done.
Okay.
So I don't see it having to go to the board level to do that. So that's my point of view. If the board thinks that they would like to have an action item and vote on it next month, that's their prerogative. But
I just thought
it might have to be.
I didn't know. I was asking a question. Yeah. Thank you. So do we want to discuss it now? Is there any Ken?
Dan has a comment.
Who?
What I hear Jerry saying is this is going to fail soon. And so we need to take care of it sooner rather than later. And I agree with Don's point. It is a maintenance item. And we shouldn't leave it hanging out there. That's my point. So that's all I have. So
I agree with Dan.
Okay. Rolando?
Yeah, I think we're talking about basically this is already approved, but the price went up for $1,800.
Richard?
If Jerry needs approval for it, it's up to Don to do that approval.
Okay.
That's why Don is the manager, and he should be able to do that.
All right.
Okay.
I'm fine with it.
Okay, so we'll proceed getting the parts and whatnot.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so some good news. The divers were out and did the 11-month warranty inspection on tank two. Looked really good. There's no issues in there. All good there. So Don had forwarded over to me the repair bill for a guy up on Gale. And then there's about 12, from memory, I didn't print it out before I left, about $1,250 worth of warranty work in tank one that they've already, PRT already knows about. So I'm going to contact them and, you know, figure out how they'll reimburse the district the $1,250 for the maintenance items in tank one. That was the staff gauge, you know, the cable had come undone, and then a little bolt in the back that had rusted up. And then the additional funds for the guy up on Gale with the sprinkler problems. So that, you know, I don't know. I'll give him a call probably early next week. I'm going to be out of town starting starting early tomorrow. So we'll get that taken care of. So, okay.
Thank you very much. Any questions for Jerry? Okay.
But thanks for doing a great job, Jerry.
Okay, guys.
Thank you, Jerry.
Stay cool.
Enjoy the rest of your week.
Thank you.
Have a good vacation if that's where you're going.
I'll be running with the high schoolers. So.
Oh, okay. Well, that'll be fun.
Yeah, it'll be fun. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay. So, Don, you're on.
Can you hear me okay?
No, not really.
Can you hear me okay now?
Yep.
Okay. That's fine. All right. First, there's no correspondence from the community to the board members. The USDA tank project is it's supposed to close on June 24th, and all documents are in, and we're just waiting for their Office of General Counsel, OGC, something like that, to squawk if they need more. But it's gone through many revisions and whatnot. So anyway, June 24th, cross your fingers, because that would really be bad if it didn't. I met over the phone with Margaret Long regarding the job description for the administrative assistant, and she's working on that. I have not found another road inspector yet, but I'm confident that I will. I would like to get a little bit more bids on that.
Can we go back to the assistant?
Yes.
Why is Margaret working on it?
Because that's what you guys had asked her to do.
I thought you were gonna do a job description for us.
With the help of Margaret. Yeah. That's what we decided. Yeah.
Right, so you were going to consult with Margaret and then come back to us with the job description. That's how I understood it.
Okay.
But I don't know that we need to pay an attorney to do a job description. It's fine to consult with her about what that means, but to actually do that, just seems like that would be your job.
The motion was made. That was clear.
And you guys voted on it.
My understanding of that motion was that he was going to work with Margaret on creating a job description going over the duties. It wasn't that we were going to have Margaret do it. It was that Don was going to work with her on it. That was the motion. And that was what passed. So I think that's what maybe Richard is getting at.
Yeah, that's what I said.
I agree with Richard, and I voted no on that motion because it didn't make sense to me either.
Don, is there?
I'll call her in the morning
and cancel
that. Sorry, it's my fault for not understanding. I really thought it was that I'm talking with her, and she said I have a couple of templates for administrative assistant, and then we can go from there. Margaret was under the impression that was the way that I was thinking too. It wasn't like she was taking off her guard at any point. So I wasn't the only one that didn't quite understand or anyway.
I don't know that there is such a misunderstanding. All I'm saying is it's great that you were talking to Margaret. It's just that the finished project shouldn't be coming back from you to the board, as far as I can tell. I mean, that's so that Margaret's not doing it at her hourly wage versus yours, because it's a big difference.
Any other comments?
My memory, Don did come up with a description of what he wanted from an assistant, and everybody seemed to not think it was complete. So then that conversation came up to have Margaret help him, because evidently Don wasn't giving us what we wanted him to give us. But I thought that he had given us what he wanted. He gave some ideas of what an assistant should do, and I don't know how Margaret got involved, and I was how the vote went. I can't even remember how the vote went. I would have wanted to vote against it, just like Richard and Rolando said, why are we paying a lawyer to do something that seems so simple? But, you know, if we voted on it, let's unvote on it.
Make a good motion.
I don't know that it requires a motion, and if you have if I make a motion, is it actionable since it wasn't on the agenda?
No, it's just a question I put back to Don, and I'm not making a motion.
Oh, okay.
It's just the way that I understood it would be normally working is that, you know, Don would be proposing to the board, and at the last meeting, we asked Don to do some more work on it. So he was going to Margaret, and that's fine. It's just that it should come back from Don, not back through Margaret. That's all I'm saying. And hopefully, you know, a lot of the work will be done by Don at a lesser price than Margaret.
I think that's the bottom line here, really.
Yeah,
so
we want Don to take the lead on it. That's
okay. Thank you.
I'll finish up on
that.
I'll shut up.
I have a question.
Yeah. What?
Just a second.
Steve told us this morning about that Greenwood needed people for forestry. And I was wondering who would I talk to you about.
Yeah, so I'm sorry, so, but we're not part of the CCC.
Yeah, oh. You'll want to go into that big building there and go through that door, and you'll see like a kitchen.
I meant to ask earlier. Sorry, I didn't want to. We're part of a different orientation.
Yeah. So that main entrance right over there.
Okay.
Thank you.
Sure.
It was with the territory.
So we give Don direction on what we want him to do about this assistant thing. Make sure that he's clear what we want him to do.
I think, Don, do you understand that we want you to be, that the bulk of this job will be charged by you and not Margaret? I think we're all probably in agreement on that. If not, speak up.
So I'm going to voice my opposition. I don't think Margaret should be involved at all. I think that Don needs to go to the web and find a job description for the assistant manager or assistant secretary or whatever, and basically use a generic template, administrative assistant, whichever, and find one that seems most suitable to him and present that to the board.
Well, we can't undo what was voted on at this point. And so under the circumstances, I think we all agree that Don should be doing as much as this is possible, that it's part of his job. And if he needs assistance from Margaret, that's fine. But we don't want to, her to be charging a lot of money to the district for it. So does anyone disagree with that? Go ahead, Ken.
I think that what happened here is that Don, you know, doesn't think that he needs the assistant that we think he needs. So there's like a conflict, and that's why I think we got Margaret involved, because she could mediate and say, okay, well, maybe convince Don, and I don't really know, but I think that if we did vote on that, which I don't recall myself voting, because I, but I think that the confusion is that Don has given his idea of what an assistant should be, and it's a lot less than what we think that we want it to be. And so if he says he doesn't need it, we need to give him instructions on why he does need it, and, you know, because he says he's doing everything fine and he's willing to take on the workload that we're giving him. Just like Richard said, if he can take the workload on, why do we need the assistant unless we're giving him a workload that, okay, now it's above what, you know, I should, I can or would or should handle, and then we need an assistant. So, but he says we don't need it. So I think that's where the confusion is, and that's why we're having these, you know, this is just, so I don't know if I'm making any sense. But Don doesn't agree that he, that, but we're implying that we need for an assistant. I'm more of the idea that we start as an hourly wage to hire somebody at a fair wage. And when we need him or her, he can come in, or she can come in and help on an hourly, you know, 5 hours this week or this month. As then at one point we can make it a permanent position. I think that's a lot better financially for us, instead of paying somebody a salary, then we got to keep them busy. And I think that's what Don is trying to say. Why are we doing this? I'm not overburdened. And, you know, you guys have come up and said we have a list of 24 items or whatever that we're not doing, that Don is supposed to be doing. And but I'm not clear on what those 24 items are, maybe a few of those items. I think we're keeping up on it. So that's really, I think the confusion's coming in, and that's why we're not making it.
Ken, I think, let me just respond to you. I think you're bringing a lot more into what we passed as a motion. The fact is that the previous board approved an administrative assistant. Our board approved an administrative assistant. I think Rolando maybe was the only one that voted against it. I'm not sure now, but and so we all voted on that, and it passed. So, and that's been going on now a year and a half, and there's been no action on it lately, and there was no actual duty statement going out there to advertise for it. And so we agreed, or I don't even know how it came up exactly. I'd have to go review the minutes, but the bottom line is that Don was going to prepare it with the assistance of Margaret, however much he needed, which wasn't, I didn't think was going to be that much. And so I think the reason Richard, and correct me if I'm wrong, Richard, but the reason Richard was commenting on this is it seems like if Margaret is preparing the job duty statement, we don't want to spend our money that way. We'd rather have Don preparing it with just, if he has any questions about it, then he can work with Margaret, which he always has the option to do. So is Don, would you characterize it like that?
I'm not sure what to say. I appreciate what Ken has said, and I would appreciate having somebody available to call now and then to get extra help in here and there, and not just have, okay, we're going to show up 5 hours this week, every week, and I set aside 5 hours of work or whatever. And for me, there's some logistical issues of going on. We don't have an official office. So it's a little bit weird because, most likely I'd be fine with them, but at the same time, I kind of have to kind of swerve on the no, because, just because one is doesn't mean the next is, and the next general manager probably won't want them in their house. And then I'm setting a precedent in a problem.
Well, okay. Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I'm just saying, we've kind of discussed this a bunch of times, and the plan was, I feel like we're going backwards discussing this, because the plan was to have you just put out a job description with the help of Margaret, because there was some difficulty on how you would do that and how a person might work out of their house, not work out of your house, or whatever they were going to do. And so Margaret was going to help you develop that. And that's what I understand that last decision was all about when we made the motion. So I don't know. I mean, we can't go back and undo what we voted on. So let's go forward here, which is what, when you get the, is that something you can do? Write the job description with the help of Margaret.
Heidi, can I make a suggestion? It sounds like, and I'm agreeing with Ken, that sounds like we need to have a special meeting and give Don more direction about what an administrative assistant is going to be.
Wow. Okay.
And if we can try to do that again, I mean, it may take us more than one, but I think it's important that we give Don that direction so that this doesn't keep going back forward.
Joanne and Diane, I see your hands up, but I just want, the board to have a chance to finish their thoughts, and then I will get to you. I don't know how other people feel about having a special meeting on that, but I feel like we've kind of, we need to move forward on this. And just, Don, you have a lot of leeway in making the job description. We've all voted on, we're not telling you what to say in the job description. You're just working with Margaret, helping you on that. So,
but Heidi, are you saying that Margaret will tell Don?
No,
the job description.
If Don has any questions about the logistics of it. No, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying she would have a say in that. Ken.
Okay.
Let me give Ken a chance to speak.
It would help me to see a list of things that we as a board want Don to do that he's not accomplishing, that, that would justify us hiring somebody or putting more pressure on Don to complete the tasks that we've given him, because I'm not too sure what those are. Dan's got his hand up, so that's what I'm asking for. If I could see that list, then I could better judge on how, I guess my thing with the assistant, I want to hit him down in the system, but we don't want to make it more difficult on him. We want to make it easier on him. He says it's going to be more difficult on him if we are not careful. So we need to be careful to not make it things more stressful, but we want to take away the stress.
No, we don't want to make it more difficult. And who wanted to say something, Dan? Yeah. Was that you?
I'd like to point out that, I understand those 25 items or whatever it is. I do not see, right now, roads and waters and getting a new plant operator is our priority. Okay. I think we need to stay with that and focus on that. I think once that task is accomplished and we're satisfied with it, then we can come back and revisit this. I don't want to spend a lot of time on this because right now, because it's not needed. Don is doing what we're asking him to do. If anything comes up, I've seen him be more than willing to jump in and take on extra tasks and do whatever is needed. Okay, so at this point, I don't think we really need to, I feel like we're going down a rabbit hole, okay?
We're not, well, Dan, I mean, we voted to have an administrative assistant. Four of us voted for that.
I understand that. I understand that we voted to have an administrative assistant. I understand that. But maybe now is not the time to bring this in. We have other things that we're trying to take care of.
Okay. I'm going to go to the audience. Thank you, Dan. I'm going to go to the audience, Diane.
Okay. So, I mean, I've personally been kind of Don's administrative assistant for all intents and purposes. Wouldn't you agree, Don? So, I mean, there is a certain voluntary level that could occur here, but and forgive me, Don, because, you know, I don't want any bad juju ever. But you have to keep in mind, something could happen to Don. And this district would be in a hell of a lot of hurt without him, because nobody can do don't have the passwords, don't have eyes on everything that Don has and handles. So there does need to be another person inserted just for backup. And also the board also approved having remote storage for files and so on and so forth. I mean, if we're in a wildfire and Don's house goes, God forbid, but I'm just saying all our eggs are in Don's house basket. So it really is important that there is somebody being trained, and God forbid something happens to him. Okay. So I just want to lay that out there. And I love you, Don. And nothing's going to happen to you. But, you know, I have to lay it out there because the Lord knows the universe works in weird ass ways. Anyways, I yield.
So thank you.
That was just a second. I'm making a comment. I agree with Diane. That is why we need to define what an administrative assistant is. An administrative assistant is not a secretary to Don. It's somebody who gets to know what Don does and is able to back him up in numerous ways, not just taking minutes at the meeting, although that might be a great way to support Don. And I agree that's a duty of an administrative assistant. What Diane is saying is that we need backup for Don. And so anyway, I just wanted to support what she said.
Joanne?
Yeah. You know, we already have the administrative assistant outline and what we were looking for. And apparently, if I remember correctly, we did, because Don did interviews off of it. But apparently, one or two board members didn't like it and wanted it redone. So that's where we are, and that's why we are here now. And
actually,
no attorney should be involved in what kind of administrative assistant this board needs. We do not need to be paying an attorney any money for anything like that.
Okay, thank you for your opinion, but it was more than one or two board members that voted for this, made a motion and voted for this. So thank you, but it was more than one or two board members. I just want to correct that. That's why we voted for that. That's a fact.
Listen to me. We had an outline of the administrative assistant.
You said that. You said that.
There were some board members that didn't like it. And so that.
It wasn't one or two board members that disagreed with what we had, because It was a majority, it was a quorum. That's how the board works. It was a quorum that voted to go ahead with Don, with Margaret helping him. It was a quorum that voted for it. So I want to caution everybody to stop going backwards and go forwards. We need to know, Don, what you would, you what, go ahead, Don.
Actually, I really appreciated how Richard just explained what the administrative assistant, the purpose of it is. And because I had always had this viewpoint that that whatever's extra is what the administrative assistant does. But what he, and stop me if I'm wrong, Richard, but what he was saying was they learn what I know and what I do, and then they can back me up on where I need help and more organization or whatever. Am I saying that?
Absolutely, and then that allows you to do something new, which might actually be fun, but also might be stuff that we need that you're not doing right now. But most importantly, somebody who can support you and get to know what you do, and that will take us, that will allow us to move forward.
An expected job description for an administrative assistant next month. And I'll work with Margaret if I need to, but I'll get that done. I just appreciate that articulation from Richard, because I really didn't know that. I first off, I've never had an administrative assistant, except for my wife dealing with that. So anyway, thank you, Richard, for explaining that.
So what you're getting then, you're getting an assistant manager, not an assistant to the manager. I don't know if you guys watch The Office, but that's
So anyway,
okay, thank you, Don. Is everybody okay if we move on from this? Don seems to be okay and have a plan. Can we move forward? The next item?
Okay.
Okay. Great. Go ahead, Don.
Richard Allen on that one. Okay. Water plant management. The RFP was sent out and with new dates on it. And the dates are, there's going to be a new site visit on June 22nd at 2 p.m. The proposals are due July 8th, and which kind of backs it up right up to our meeting, the regular board meeting on July 12th, which is our next board meeting. So going from the 8th to the 12th, there will be enough time, hopefully, to decipher, you know, the RFPs and figure out which way's up, and that I can give a solid recommendation and reasoning. I do anticipate there's going to be a lot more competitive bids. Not one is double of the other, and the low one's double of what we're, 2.5 times of what we're doing. I do suspect it's going to be a lot better. Go ahead.
I just want to get June 22nd at 2 p.m. I think if board members want to go, they should go. And if we're going to get more than two, we need an agenda. So we need to be clear about that again this time around.
Yeah. So, I'll just put an agenda out there. And then if three show up, then we'll go with the agenda. If only two show up, the agenda goes off, you know, just doesn't. It's not an official meeting, but it's certainly a meeting to open up the RFP. It's not going to cancel the RFP. It's just that it doesn't have to be a quorum. So
good. Sounds good. What time is that out, Don? Two. Okay.
Two.
And let me just ask a question, and that is, you added that water district jobs, I think that was the site you added.
GlobalWaterIntel.com.
What?
It was also added to globalwaterintel.com, and then CSDA, California Special Districts Association, and then obviously our website, which is really convenient because then I can just keep handing out links instead of handing out this, you know, several, you know, this large file. And then there's another place called Water Jobs. Anyway, there's two of them that you had referred me to. And one
Water
of them,
District Jobs and waterjobs.com or so, dot something.
So there's Water District Jobs and it's posted there. And then there's waterjobs.com. I've emailed and called and everything, and because in order to post things on the website, you have to go through the administrator on that, and just he's not responding to me. But I'm calling just almost every day. So anyway, but on top of all that, I've called many contractors in the area, called, emailed, and spoken to on the phone. Like I told you before, Dudek, and they're a hard one to get a hold of, but I've called them several times. The A Quality Water Management, I've given a tour of the water plant. It's kind of a pre-tour with them. The Americans Reach Out Utility Service, I've given them a tour of the water plant. There's another proposer, Jason Hoffman, who I've given a tour of the water plant, you know, the tanks in the water plant. Coleman Engineering, they are interested in proposing, and they've had a tour. let's see, Coulter Anderson at getots.com. And anyway, it is another one that's wanting to propose. So there's several different contractors that are interested in proposing. I did have a couple of them that just said, no, I don't want to propose. I don't know anybody in that area in the Auburn area to do it. So a lot of them are people that are networking in order to get the contracted job done. So anyway, did I answer your question, Heidi?
Yes, and thank you very much for doing all that work. And that sounds great. I'm glad we're getting a lot more interest this second time around. That's wonderful.
So, in addition to that, you know, we have the trying to get a single audit for the district. And there's not a lot of people that do that. What I'm finding out is that there's CPAs that do it, but they're large firms and they only do it for large organizations. And like one that I talked to just today said, I don't think you really want to go with us. The minimum charge for a single audit is like $20,000. And that's the minimum. And I was like, okay, do you have any suggestions? Do you know anybody that does small districts and stuff? And she said, let me get back to you on that. So that's the kind of way I'm working with a lot of different CPAs that have responded. I posted the question to CSDA, to their community board about that. And I got quite a few responses, and most of them are very similar responses to what I just said, that, you know, if you're tiny, no, we don't do that. So,
did you check with USDA to see, everybody who's along with them?
And then I talked to USDA, I talked to Michael Volkus, anyway, at USDA, and he said, absolutely do not have a list of auditors to do that because it's like a conflict of interest.
Yeah. But does he have a district that's doing it, you know, that we can give us the name of the district?
No.
Okay. So what's the type of audit again?
It's called a single audit. And a single audit, and I'll just give a quick definition of it. A single audit is a special audit that takes place when a district or a government agency has a larger loan than $750,000. And they, last time I checked, I think we broke that one. Just a bit over. Anyway, if the loan closed, and see, now this is the logistics of it. Right now, we haven't got a loan for $750,000. But if it closes on the 24th, we will, and we'll need a special audit for the 21-22 fiscal year that ends June 30th. But if it doesn't close, which, oh man, don't even go there.
Yeah.
But if it didn't close, then we would have the regular audit this year and then the special audit next year, assuming that it closed in the public meeting, right? But anyway, thank you for doing all that.
And have you talked to PCWA, because they have a finance department and they might be able to recommend something?
I'll call them.
It's just an idea.
I'll give them a call.
Ask Meta Vista. I'm sure they probably have a large loan also.
Well, you only need it the 1 year that you take out the loan. After that.
Oh, okay.
It's only, that's why they call it a single audit, is because you only need the.
On the front end of it. I got it.
And then after that, then it's back to the financial, we call it the yellow book audit. So anyway, it's just the 1 year. So I do know that the auditor for Meta Vista is the same one that we've been using, Robert W. Johnson CPA. So anyway, and I've called the ones that Robert W. Johnson CPA recommended, and actually we got one bid from them. The other two, like, no, we just can't do that. You know, they're slammed. With too much work. All right, let me try to just finish up on the report. I'm sick of talking now. Update on funds available from grants and loans. The board had asked me to call two places, the Bartle, I just want to say Bartle and Jenny's, but anyway, the Bartle and Wells or something like that up in Tahoe, and then also Hansford, wherever, I guess Bartles is in the Bay Area and Hansford's in Tahoe. Anyway, I talked to her kind of quite extensively, and she has an economic financial consulting business, and so the types of services that they do would be arranging grants and loans and also doing rate studies and income studies and whatnot, and doing those formal reports. And so I did talk to her. You know, I said, hey, you know, we're interested. We may need a rate study at some point, but what does it look like as far as grants and loan, or, you know, grants, you know, free money, you know, help with our infrastructure. And the sad news was, well, unless you are way under, if you're in financial hardship,
if you're disadvantaged, economically disadvantaged. Yeah.
Usually economically.
I can't hear you. I can't hear you, Don, all of a sudden.
That might be our bad connection. Might not be the.
Yeah, I think it must be.
Anyway, sorry.
Well, with inflation, we may make it.
Well, anyway, she had just done an income survey up in Midway Heights, and she said, if you are at their level, you have no hope. It's just not going to pan out. And then she had done one in Heather Glen, and in Heather Glen, there's like a mobile home community of, I want to say, I looked at the parcel map, I know there's probably like 35 mobile homes in a circle. And literally their gross income was like 35,000 each. And one person was at 100,000. And you're there. But anyway, and even though they qualified as disadvantaged, they're still having a hard time getting the funds from just being disadvantaged alone. And then the other, so disadvantaged. And then the second one was ultra green projects, super green projects. So that where you can define that however you want, but I just make it slurs. Anyway, it must be like for going solar or something like that. And actually, just so you know, we did have solar looked at on the property where the water plant is. And it was just kind of, there's just not enough space there. But, technology changes, so maybe, except the sunstone. There was one other thing, I can't remember the third now, but anyway, it was like strike one, strike two, strike three, and we didn't fit under any of them for that. So as far as there's a lot of money out there, but it's going towards those specific areas that we just don't qualify as a community, which brought up my whole, let's get adopted by an Indian reservation. There's a ton of money for Indian reservation stuff. So anyway, let's see. You had talked to PCWA, so
I yeah. Like so they are Kathy had sent them the letter, asking them to look into partial and full consolidation. They are done with their report. I haven't received it yet. I did talk for a while. They do have grants from the state for consolidation. So that is one place where there are grants, because the state is wanting this PCWA to work with the districts, the smaller districts like us, and consolidate, because, I'm not going to give the reasons, but I'm not going to try to do that. I might not do a good enough job, but anyhow, there are grants in that area if we went with consolidation. So they have the report. I haven't seen it yet, and we'll be getting that soon. So.
That's the end of the report on my side.
What?
I'm done with the reports now.
Okay. Thank you. Next month for July meeting, we have the RFP for operations and distribution to approve a contractor. That'll be on the agenda. Approve an auditor proposal, assuming we find one, hopefully. Approve a road consultant proposal, and hopefully we'll find one that, and approve tree trimming proposal. So I don't know anything about that. That's that's it. I don't think I have the last page, but I think that's it. Was there anything else?
Yeah, there's going to be the two direct charges on there.
The what?
The two direct charges. The Gale Loop and the water. The action items 2 and 3 will be on the future agenda. Resolution.
Oh, okay. Action items 2 and 3. Okay. Yeah. Gotcha. Okay. All right. I think that's it. Are there any comments, questions, anything else from the audience?
Rolando, I'd like to make a suggestion. I think that the board should consider starting to look at doing a rate study. I think it will benefit us because it was already pointed out when we approved the budget, it's going to be tough to meet the new costs potentially. So we should start preparing, and it takes a while to evaluate. I think Diane had mentioned before something about being able to do pass-through charges. I think we should try to figure out what that's about. And if that's the case, plan around how we would pass those through and how we would communicate that to the district.
Thank you. I agree with you, Rolando, especially in light of the fact that PCWA is going to give us the report with their numbers. And right now, our rates are fairly closely aligned to theirs. And so we do need to look at the rate study to compare it with, the option of consolidation or partial consolidation. So we should probably put that on the agenda for the next meeting.
So would the board like me to have this lady come and give a little spiel, a short presentation about what their firm can do for the district as far as rate study and anything else that would come to mind for you guys?
Well, I think that would be one thing. The other thing I think we need to see, understand, and I don't know if we need to talk to Margaret or who about what these pass-through costs that we can increase, what that process would look like. So what that covers. So both of those up.
We would definitely need approval for something like that. So after we talk with Robert. Yeah.
Rolando, the board is allowed to do actuals. In other words, actual cost increase to the board, even if it's like chemicals. Jerry got he got his increase. There'll be a bigger increase. Those are not ones that are under the proposition. In other words, it's not a long-term project. It's an actual. So those are pass-through expenses that don't have to be approved by voter.
Thank you, Diane. Any other comments or discussion? Okay, I think we're done.
Motion to adjourn.
I make a motion to adjourn the meeting.
Dan, I second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, but meeting is adjourned.
We missed that last page. Comments from the audience on items not on the agenda. Sorry about that.
No, that's what that was. Any other comments or questions? Or I already asked that.
Sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Good night. Good night.